today as we come to the table.
As a leader in your home or in the church or in your community or at work, you need to use wise caution in all areas. And this is something that's greatly needed in today's church. That is, people are watching you. If you say you're a Christian, whether you like it or not, you're under a magnifying glass, because there is a higher expectation for a Christian than someone who doesn't say they're a Christian. If you say you're a Christian, they're expecting you to live like one. Now, here's what I found. People do not expect perfection. They know better than that. They know you're human. They know you're going to mess up.
Jesus says in Luke's gospel, "To whom much was given, of him much will be required." If you're in a position of leadership, not only do you have the responsibility to care for your flock, but you also need to live your life as an example of Christian living. You should be the standard for people to live up to. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark doesn't take leadership lightly. In today's message, he continues to explain the requirements of godly Christian leaders. People are always watching your behavior as a Christian. Do you want to be the one who leads someone astray because of your loose following of Jesus' commandments? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Titus, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's get into them. I'm excited about it today. Open your Bibles to Titus chapter 1. As we continue on through the book of Titus, we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 11 and continue looking at the qualifications of elders and then switch to the responsibility of elders. So Titus chapter 1, as you guys are finding your way there, let's pray and ask God to again bring his word alive to us. So Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, God, for the teaching of your word, the solid foundation. Lord, we sang just a moment ago about the solid foundation of your throne and your word and who you are. And truly, God, that is not only true about who you are, but what you want your church to be. And so as you teach us through the book of Titus, and Lord, you help us to set things in order, as you tell us in Titus, I pray you would continue to do that, speaking to us as the leadership of the church, but also, God, speaking individually to leaders in the leadership of our homes. That is, Lord, in teaching us as moms and dads how to run our households and to honor you in our homes as well. So I pray you would just, again, instruct us and teach us. We look forward to what you have for us today in your word, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, as we look today, as I said, the responsibility of elders, last week we began looking at the direct requirements that Paul gave to Titus for elders. Today we're going to finish in a couple of verses, verse 8 and 9, about the requirements. And then when we're done with the requirements, we will move into the requirements and qualifications. We'll move into the responsibility of an elder. And you know, there is a great responsibility in being a leader in God's church, even as there's a great responsibility for you as moms and dads being leaders in your home. And without an understanding of the level of responsibility, I think sometimes it's not handled as seriously. And that is, if we don't understand the level of responsibility we have before God in our homes, we're not going to handle it as seriously in our homes. And as leaders of the church, if we don't understand the level of responsibility we have as your pastors and as your elders, then we're not going to handle it as seriously as we should either. But sometimes all it takes is understanding what it is we're doing and realizing the honor we've been given and what God is going to require of us one day. It's interesting. I was reading this week about Queen Victoria when she was a child. She didn't know that she was in line for the throne of England. Her instructors were trying to prepare her for the future, and they were frustrated because they said she wasn't motivated, and she didn't have the desire to be where they knew she needed to be in order to one day soon be the Queen of England. They knew she was going to be. She didn't know she was going to be, and they were tasked with the responsibility of getting her up to that place. They said she didn't take her studies seriously, she didn't take her training seriously, and she was very lackadaisical about what it was that was lying in her future. Finally, the teacher said, they all decided, here's what we've got to do. We've got to let Victoria know that one day she's going to be the Queen of England. And maybe that'll change things. Maybe she'll have an understanding of what is required of her because of what her call is and her future is. And they said they gathered around and got her together and they spoke to her and said, you're going to one day, the reason we're training you and teaching you all this and trying to get you to be responsible is one day you are going to be the Queen of England. And she just sat there for a moment and thought about it. And they said her response was very simple. She said this, and I quote, "Then I will be good." And they said from that point on, her life changed. She became responsible. She began to take her training seriously. She began to take her studies seriously. She began to look at what her responsibilities of a future queen would be. And everything changed. And again, she one day shortly after that, became the Queen of England. And when the call came, she was ready. Listen, the same thing is true for everyone in this room. The Bible says you're all called to be kings and priests unto God. In the kingdom of God. Now, you're not that now. You are that in a sense pre that, but one day you're literally, the Bible says, going to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And if you understand that you're going to one day be kings and priests in the kingdom of God, how are you going to conduct yourself on your journey there? You see, it tends to give us a level of responsibility, a level of seriousness, a level of soberness, which again, Paul's going to be talking about when it comes to the leadership of the church, because as leaders of the church, we will not only be accountable to those that we serve, we're going to be accountable one day to the Lord. And again, I take this not only from us in the church as leadership here, but also in our homes, and so we have the double application. Now again, elders are much more than simple figureheads with authority. They are called by God to deal directly with the body in leading by example, as well as dealing with any issues that arise within the church. And that means the good and the bad issues as well. You see, there will be times when the elders, and that means, of course, pastors and or all the leaders, are the ones giving the encouragement. And they're giving the attaboys, great job, way to go, and they're cheerleading us, if you will. And then there'll be times when they have to deal with tough issues concerning church discipline. And that is sometimes there are issues that have to be dealt with. And so God wants his leadership to know how to deal with things in different situations. You know, it's interesting. When you look at Jesus and the way he dealt with people, it was very interesting. There was quite a contrast depending on where the heart was of the person. I'll give you an example. The Bible says in John chapter 4 that Jesus met a woman at a well who was living with her fifth live-in boyfriend. She was not married. She was living in direct contradiction to the word of God, living in sin. And the Lord sat down with her, and it doesn't say anything about him attacking her or berating her or calling her a sinner. He simply said, "Hey, would you get me a drink of water?" And she said, "Why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan, and the Jews and Samaritans don't get along. We don't talk with each other." He said, "If you knew who it was you were talking with, you would ask me for living water, that is spiritual refreshment, and I would give it to you." He was very gentle with her. And then he exposed that he knew her sin. He said, "Go bring your husband." She said, "Well, I don't have a husband." He said, "That's right. You've had five or four. And the one you're living with now is not your husband." And she knew right then this had to be a prophet of God. He was able to know what was going on in her life. And the bottom line is that she ended up giving her life to the Lord, and she repented of her sin and actually was used to lead others to Christ. Now, that's one scenario. You think, wow, here's God dealing with someone that has all the sin in her life, and he's so gentle. He's so gracious. He's so loving. Why? Because she had a heart that wanted to do right. She just didn't know what to do. And when she met Jesus, everything changed. Now, change scenes. Go to the religious leaders of the day. Those who said they were following God, those who pretended they were honoring God, and yet they were simply living for their self and for their flesh, and they didn't love God or the people. How did Jesus deal with them? Now, imagine this. Jesus told the religious leaders of his day, he said, "You're a brood of vipers, and your father is the devil." Now, that's probably not the best way to start a conversation. But the Lord deals with us where we are, doesn't he? If we have a tender heart, he deals tenderly. If we have a hardened heart, he gets firm. Now, why do I say that? Because what Paul is laying out here with the responsibilities of leaders in the church is we're to do the same thing. We're called to be in tune with the Lord's Spirit and know God's word well enough so that when someone may have a real situation going on in their life, maybe it's the worst sinful situation you can imagine, we don't run and attack them. We love them and we teach them and we show them God's word that they can get right with God. But then there may be other times where there's some who come in who pretend to be all religious and all these things, and they're not only living in sin themselves, but they're leading other people in the church into sin. And what does God say? You need to sometimes deal harshly with them. And so there's got to be balance. I want to encourage you, when it comes to your church leadership, you need to be in a church where you trust your leadership. Now, that should go without saying. And obviously, you trust your leadership here or you wouldn't be here. But here's why that is important. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to see the leadership of the church deal with someone who has a lot of issues going on that are very wrong in a lot of the Bible, and we're going to be very, very gentle, very, very caring, very tender. You might be thinking, why in the world are they dealing so tenderly with this person that is so blatantly going against the Word of God? Because God will work in your leadership to know that that's what they need to come to the Lord. And then you're going to see sometimes where maybe your leadership gets very firm with someone. You might say, wow, why were they so firm with so-and-so? I think they went overboard in the way they dealt with it. Do you trust your leadership? Because God will move in the leadership sometimes, even as Jesus himself was gentle and Jesus himself was firm. Sometimes God will move in your leadership to be gentle, and sometimes God will move in your leadership to be firm. But if you trust your leadership, if you believe that God's working through them, then you can rest and trust that God's doing what it is that he wants to do in their life. And so this is something that Paul wanted Titus to know as someone that was appointing the elders on the island of Crete, and it's something that we need to know in modern day, if you will, in the church, because again, it's how God encourages us and how God uses our leadership to encourage us as well. And so again, we're going to get into the more details of the responsibilities, and that really is what we're dealing with there, the issue I just covered. But first, as I said, before we get into that, we made it up through verse 7 on the qualifications or requirements of elders. And so we're going to go on and cover verses 8 and 9 to break this down and individually before we move on into the responsibility part, because I want to make sure that we cover it thoroughly, because it should be covered thoroughly. Notice what Paul says here to Titus going on about the responsibilities of elders, taking up in verse 8. He says, be hospitable. A lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, and self-controlled. Now, the next thing Paul says we're to be as leaders is we're to be hospitable. Now, what does it mean to be hospitable? That means you need to be gracious to people and basically have an open heart and open doors when it comes to your home. Now, for some of us, that's easier than others. There are some of you right now in this room, you have a gift of hospitality. It just naturally happens. Some of you don't have a gift of hospitality, and what God is saying to you is, you know what, you need to learn to be hospitable. It's something you have to put a little bit of effort in. Let me give you the difference typically of the two. Typically, and this doesn't always hold true, and I'll give you another example in a moment, but typically when you have a gift of hospitality, you're not really overly concerned that the house is perfect before anybody walks in. Now, that doesn't mean you're messy. That doesn't mean you're not responsible. That doesn't mean you don't grab the socks and put them in the dirty clothes and wipe the counter down before somebody comes in. That's just good manners. But at the same time, it's like, you know what? The house is not perfect, but they need a place to stay and they're traveling through. They can come to our home, Pastor. That'll be great. Have them come on in. You know, maybe a call goes out to the body. Somebody needs a place to stay. If you're that kind of person, you have a natural gift of hospitality. It's not, again, that you're not neat in general, but it's not something you're going to panic over if you're called on. Now, the person that doesn't have that gift, it's like, there's no way they're setting foot in this home until everything is clean. You know, even like, again, you know, under the concrete and behind the drywall or whatever the case might be. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have a gift of hospitality. It means that a lot of times you'll see a mixture of both. People will want it to be very clean, but they're also very hospitable. But typically you see these two kind of going back and forth. And what Paul is saying to Titus is, when you pick your leaders, make sure that if they're going to be leaders, that they either are naturally hospitable to the flock and or are willing to learn to be, to open their door to them. Why? Understand the setting in this day. They didn't have hotels everywhere like we have. If they had a hotel in a town, and oftentimes they would have one, but oftentimes they wouldn't. If they had a hotel in a town, it was typically very dangerous. A lot of criminal activity would go on around these places, and oftentimes it was very unclean. And so a lot of Christians were on the run because of persecution, or maybe they were traveling from one place to another, and they would come through your town. Paul's saying, look, tell Titus to teach the Cretan people that when people come through to their island, when they're traveling by, when they're going from town to town, open your doors to them. They're going to need you to take care of them. So this is what it means to be hospitable. Again, it's something that's a great quality to pray for. And I would say if you're ever going to be a leader in God's church, it's okay if you're not naturally hospitable. But if you're not, you need to pray, God, give me an ability to be hospitable. We all can grow. And so there's one that Paul gives Titus. Next, notice he says that a leader is to be a lover of what is good. Now, very obviously, that would be as opposed to what is bad. That is, we're to acknowledge the good around us that it may be emphasized. And that could be good in what's going on in our society. It could be good in what's going on in an individual. See, a leader's got to be the kind of person that sees the good in someone and points that out first. It doesn't mean you don't address situations that need to be changed. You need to address those. But what do you do first? Address what they're doing right. You want to see the perfect example of that? Look at Jesus in Revelation. Don't turn there, but in Revelation, the seven churches, where he writes the seven letters to the churches, in all of the churches except one, Jesus had something good to say. In one of the churches, he had nothing good to say at all. But in all the other six churches, there was good that they were doing. And the Lord said to them, now, here's the things you're doing right. And he went down the list. You're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing that. Way to go. Attaboy, so to speak. And then he would come to a verse that says, nevertheless, I have this against you. And he would begin to address the issues that needed to be addressed. That's the approach of the leader of the church, and that should be the approach of you individually when you're dealing with others. Point out the things they're doing good. Encourage them in what they're doing right. And then when you see things that need to be corrected, then you gently correct it after letting them know what they're doing good. He says you need to be a person who's a lover of what is good. Notice next he says, also they need to be sober-minded. Interesting. Literally it means this: using wise caution in all areas. I like that. That means as a leader in your home or in the church or in your community or at work, you need to use wise caution in all areas. And this is something that's greatly needed in today's church. That is, people are watching you. If you say you're a Christian, whether you like it or not, you're under a magnifying glass, because there is a higher expectation for a Christian than someone who doesn't say they're a Christian. If you say you're a Christian, they're expecting you to live like one. Now, here's what I found. People do not expect perfection. They know better than that. They know you're human. They know you're going to mess up. But they're watching to find out, is this real? Is this sincere? Do you really mean this? And this is where we're using wise caution in all areas. I'll give you an example. You're at work, and everybody's standing around talking in the break room, and there's some filthy joke that someone's telling. But everybody knows you're a believer. You know, you don't have to stand up and rebuke everybody and start yelling at them. But you might just quietly excuse yourself. Say, okay, guys, I'll see you. I'm heading back to the desk. And they're going to figure it out. You know what? He really didn't want to be a part of that. You know, he really is different. He really does live the way he says that he lives. He's guarding himself. He or she is using wise caution in all areas. Now, I want to shift it from that to a church example, because again, this is what Paul's directly speaking about. And there are many in church leadership today who do not use sober and wise caution in all areas, but are making very poor choices. And Paul says that should never happen. The greatest abuse I see in this area today is when church leadership focuses more on their freedom and what they can get away with rather than living holy lives as an example to the body of Christ. And what do I mean? Listen, you're free in Christ. That's what we celebrate. The fact that Jesus died on the cross, we're free in Christ. We're not under the bondage of the law. However, we're to use wisdom in all situations so that we don't cause a brother and sister to stumble, that we don't set a bad example for them. And my concern is that there are some in leadership today, very visibly, that are more focused on what they can get away with rather than how they can care and protect about the body of Christ. You know, Paul talked about this again in Romans, and he said this, look, you're free. He said, but if your freedom causes somebody else to stumble in their faith and in their walk, he says, what are you doing? Are you showing love or are you brandishing your rights? See, this is America. I've got my rights. You know, we all hear that all the time, don't we? It's America, I've got my right. You do. You've got rights as an American, and you've got rights as a believer in Christ. You're not under the law. You're free in Jesus by what he's done on the cross through his blood. If you've given your life to him, he's forgiven your sins. They've been washed away. You're free. But sometimes, you know, we don't use our freedom because it might be detrimental to someone else. And we have to, if we love them, if I love you and I'm free to what, fill in the blank. All right, let me just do one just to be silly. I'm free in Christ to smoke a cigar. And I walk up in the pulpit going, good to see you guys this morning. Now, I'm not condemned for that. I'm not condemned for smoking a cigar. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not smoke cigars, all right? But because some of you come from a background of going, a pastor should never do something like that. It could not only cause you to leave the fellowship, it could cause you to question the seriousness of the leadership at Calvary Chapel of Knoxville. Now, I could handle that two ways. They need to grow up. They just need to grow up. Or that's the selfish way, isn't it? The loving way is to say, guys, don't smoke cigars in the pulpit. You know, don't be smoking a cigar in the hallway. Look, some people are offended by that. You may be free in Christ. You want to, you know, sneak off somewhere, smoke a cigar? Don't do it in the pulpit. Don't do it in front of others. Now, I'm picking something crazy or whatever the case might be. You get my point. My point is simply this. If you love others, you have to love others to be a leader. And you've got to be willing to deny yourself for their sake. Remember, as a leader, you're the grown-up. Think about your kids at home. You say, you know, whatever the kids do, we're going to do. What? Yeah, they get to do it, we get to do it. What are you talking about? You got to set an example for them. If you do whatever they're doing, the whole house will be crazy. Well, that's all right. It's good enough for them, it's good enough for us, right? Think about that, how chaotic houses will be. What if the pastors and leaders said, you know what, whatever anybody wants to do out there, let's just all do it. It'd be chaos. So the pastors are not to pretend to be, you know, holier than thou, as they say, or trying to live by the law or be legalistic or pretend that everybody else is wrong and we're right. But we have to be mindful as leaders in our home and in the church. People are watching us. And if we love them, we'll do whatever we can to keep them from stumbling in their walk with Jesus. So doing, again, everything in love, basically, is what he's talking about here. Now, next he says they need to be just. This is simple, really. It just means doing what is right. A leader should do what is right. You know, you might be in a situation where somebody asks you to do something, or you need to address a situation, and you know if you address the situation, somebody's going to get mad at you, or you know if you do the right thing, it's going to cost you some money. You know, maybe you bump somebody's car in the parking lot, and you're thinking, well, nobody's around, and it's not that big of a dent, right? Or you don't be the guy that writes the letter. Everybody thinks I'm writing you my information, but I'm not. I just hit your car, and they're watching me, and I had to do something. Put it on them to walk off, right? Don't be that guy. You need to do the right thing. A leader's got to be just and say, you know what? Yeah, it's going to make my insurance go up. It sure is. But I'm going to do what's right. Why? Because you're answerable to the Lord. And again, people are watching. What's the next thing? He says, be holy. It means to be set apart for God and his work. Again, holiness does not mean a certain voice that you use or certain clothes that you wear. It doesn't mean a robe you have on or whatever the case. That's not holiness. Holiness simply means, literally in the language in the Bible, setting yourself apart for God. You can wear whatever and set yourself apart for God. You can talk however you want and set yourself apart from God. I've never quite understood, you know, and I want to be gentle with this. Probably it's culture. But I've never quite understood the guy that talks different in the pulpit than he does at home. You know, I mean, I don't know what the difference is. Just be who you are. People know who you are. Be who you are. Tell the truth. Lay it out. And I know a lot of it, again, is culture, so I want to be careful on that. But the bottom line is being holy just means I choose to live for God, and I'm going to live for God in who I am, in how I live. I'm setting everything apart for him. He says a leader's got to be that way. Notice next, he says you got to be self-control. That is, there needs to be a certain level of discipline in the leader's life.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. We're in the book of Titus, and it's always interesting to learn more about these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to his friends and companions. Titus was one of those who Paul mentored. Titus even accompanied Paul on one of the three missionary journeys. So there's a lot of relationship these two had. It's obvious that Paul held Titus in high regard as he praised him for his affection, earnestness, and ability to bring comfort to others. Wouldn't that be something to be spoken of with such high praises? Part of why we're here is to be in relationship with others and to remind people of the type of love and compassion Jesus shows. Titus was an exemplary person in this way. If today's teaching has sparked some questions that you just can't wait to get answered, we'd love to speak with you. Give us a call at 865-609-1385. It would be wonderful to be in relationship with you and have a conversation about what you've heard. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. 609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, come join us at Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We'd be so happy to meet you in person. Feel free to refer to our website for service times, thewaymedia.net. You'll notice a Calvary Knoxville tab at the top of the page. As our time comes to a close today, we trust that you've been encouraged through this teaching in Titus. Please make a point to join us next time, as there's much more to learn in this New Testament book here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.